Welcome to the AFP Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Friday, June 3rd, 2022. This is the 14th edition of the AFP Report, a podcast series where I will be interviewing reporters and contributors to American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, as well as other special guests. Please consider subscribing to American Free Press if you are not already. Subscription details can be found at AmericanFreePress.net. Today, I am joined by Phil Turney, a U.S. Navy veteran who survived the brutal Israeli attack on the USS Liberty on June 8, 1967. All right, Phil Turney, welcome to the program, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for getting me on and getting the truth out.
Yeah, absolutely. I have I've been familiar with your work for a number of years, so it's quite an honor to finally speak with you. I know you are a U.S. Navy veteran who survived the brutal Israeli attack on the USS Liberty on June 8, 1967, and you have been quite an outspoken critic of the U.S. government's response to the attack and the subsequent cover-up. So just to get started, can you kind of just briefly introduce yourself and talk about your experience in the Navy, what your role was, and how you got on board the USS Liberty and what your sort of role was on the ship that day?
Sure. I joined the Navy at 17 years old. I wasn't going to school. I quit school. My dad signed for me, and I went in the Navy. Went to boot camp in San Diego, California, and I excelled in boot camp. I was named outstanding recruit of my troop 128 when I graduated from boot camp, and I got transferred to the USS Mauna Kea, which is a ammunition ship. That was on the West Coast. Made two trips to Vietnam, unloading ammo and things like that, picking them up other things, bringing them back to the States. And in 1965, I got transferred to the USS Liberty. And I was pretty excited about that. I was pretty tired of the West Coast. So I got transferred to the Liberty, which was stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. And of course, as you know, the Liberty was a spy ship, one of the most sophisticated spy ships in the world at that time. In fact, there was none better than the USS Liberty. We could bounce signals off the moon to the National Security Agency within seconds. And that was 55 years ago. Well, see, I got on board there at 65. See, it was 57 years ago when I first got on board. But yeah, it was a ship that we always took to Africa and sailed up and down the coast, picking up radio signals, anything we could intercept, Russian, Cuban, anything. It didn't make any difference. And then we would send it back to the National Security Agency at Fort Meade, Maryland.
So, real quick, can I just interject? So the ship itself, did it actually have NSA personnel on board at all times? Like it was deeply tied to what the NSA was doing?
Absolutely. In fact, those guys, now I wasn't a CT, but those guys were working for the National Security Agency and the CIA. We had CIA people aboard too. So we left on our last cruise, headed back to Africa again. And we got into port in Abidjan. And we were only there just a short bit. And we got emergency orders to set sail. So just as soon as everybody got back on board, in fact, there was a fellow or two there going to leave, but they got there in time and they didn't miss ship's movement. But we were underway as fast as we could go into the Mediterranean. We had no clue what was going on, not an idea, nothing. So we get off the coast of the Sinai, 12.5 miles off the coast. We were always in international waters, always. Never strayed. The Israelis overflew our ship many, many times. You could see the Star of David on their recon aircraft. And we were glad to see them, because we didn't know if the Arabs were going to come get us. We could see the bombs dropping on the coast, black smoke and everything. It was pretty incredible. We were thinking, wow, glad we're not over there. And again, we had our American flag flying always. We had been identified as the USS Liberty, American and friendly, on their war table. And it could have been Tel Aviv. I'm not sure where exactly it was.
It was basically their naval and air force command.
Absolutely.
Where you guys were identified as a friendly ship. Yeah. You know what, real quick, before you go any further, I'm curious, you said you guys set sail over to basically the Mediterranean, like North Africa, the Mediterranean Sea. What was do you know exactly what the purpose or the mission of the Liberty was that particular day? Because this was right as the Six-Day War started that Israel was involved with Egypt and some of the other Arab nations in the region. Was it anything to do with the Six-Day War, or was it, do you know exactly what the mission of what you guys were doing that particular day?
Yes, I do. The mission of the ship, of course, we were a spy ship. And we were picking up signals out of the sky or wherever, over the transmissions of radio, whatever. And that was perfectly legal. But we did not tune in on Israeli or British Commonwealth messages. They were to be dropped immediately. So we weren't spying on Israel, or we weren't spying on the Brits or anybody else except, of course, the Arabs and the Russians, finding out what was going on. But
okay, I see.
We knew there was a war going on. We finally figured it out. And we felt very comfortable with the Israelis because they identified us as American and friendly. And then they changed the watch, they said. This is the Israelis talking. They changed the watch and forgot to tell the people that relieved them on their watch that we were in the area. They took us off their war table. So it was like we never existed. That's pretty strange to even say that, but that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, why would that happen? Like, that's what I don't understand, is why would they do that? Unless it was to specifically target the ship, right?
Absolutely. They wanted us on the bottom. And that was the whole plan. And they were going to blame it on the Arabs. I mean, who would be the wiser? You know, the attack started at 2 o'clock on June the 8th. A beautiful, beautiful day. There's not a cloud in the sky. We had a fair breeze coming across our bow. Our flag was always flying. In fact, we put a brand new flag up to make sure everybody knew who we were. And all of a sudden at 2 o'clock, here they came. Jet fighters, MiGs and Mirage jets, strafing our ship over and over and over again, dropping napalm on us, shooting anybody on deck that moved or walked, they were shot or killed. And we didn't have anything to fight back with except our will and our guts and wanting to live.
Right. Now you said that the USS Liberty was primarily a spy ship, essentially. Was there any heavy weaponry or offensive weaponry on board the ship to even engage, you know, in an attack?
Well, we had four 50 caliber machine guns, two on the forecastle and two aft. Those were the first targets of the attacking aircraft. And I might also tell you, John, they were unmarked aircraft. They were black, and we didn't know who was attacking us. Of course, we assumed it was the Arabs. But little did we know it was our supposedly good friends, the Israelis.
So they deliberately covered up their markings on their aircraft to conceal their identity, and of course they their first target was the four machine guns. But that's all the weaponry, and I don't even know if you can necessarily consider that heavy weaponry, right? I mean, four machine guns on a ship, that's not going to do a whole lot.
No, I mean it's like shooting a bear with a BB gun.
Right. Yeah.
Even if we could operate them, but those were taken out first, and two of my friends died in the forward gun mount. They were blown to bits. I had just left that gun mount, I don't know, maybe a minute or two before the attack started. And they hit all the antenna. The ship was full of antenna. In fact, Admiral Moore said we were probably the ugliest ship in the Navy. That looked like a giant lobster. I don't know if you know or heard of Admiral Thomas Moore, but he was a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And he was also the only admiral to ever command the Pacific and the Atlantic fleets. And he was a great friend of the USS Liberty. And he died with a sour stomach. Because they couldn't get the truth out either. They blocked everything. They shut everything down. And it was just horrific. I mean, napalm. There was over 850 cannon and rocket holes in the ship. Over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets in the ship. Napalm burning is up. Burning is up. And then here come the torpedo boats. We could see the boats coming at us. There were three of them. And we saw the Star of David on it. We said, wow, this is good. They're coming to help us. That was far, far, far from the truth. They weren't coming to help us. They were coming to sink us. They fired five torpedoes at us, five or six. People differ on that. It really doesn't make any difference. Four of them, five of them missed. One of them hit the starboard side in the research bases where the spies, the spooks were, the NSA guys. 25 of my shipmates were blown to bits in a second by the torpedo. The ship started listing. We thought we were going to roll over. I certainly did. But I chose it myself. I said, well, if this baby sinks, I'm not going to jump overboard, or I'm just going to go down with it, because I'm not going to let those son of a bitches shoot me in the water. So, aircraft were sent from the USS Saratoga twice, not once, but twice, and recalled by none other than Lyndon Baines Johnson and Defense Secretary McNamara. If they'd left those airplanes to come help us, they could have fought off the torpedo boats. They'd have sunk them in a heartbeat, and 25 of my shipmates would be alive.
Boy, that's incredible. And most people aren't even aware of this. I mean, here we have a U.S. Navy ship being attacked, and the fighter aircraft sent to defend it are being ordered at the highest levels of the U.S. government to return back to, what was it, the 6th Fleet? You guys were part of the 6th Fleet, but you guys were all on your own, right? I mean, there was no other aircraft in the area, naval craft either. Like, you guys were totally on your own, essentially?
Yes. And in fact, the captain of the ship, William McGonagall, he requested an escort, and they denied him. He said, you're a clearly marked American ship. You're flying the American flag. Don't worry about it. Nothing's going to happen. Also, David Lewis, he was a third senior man aboard the ship. He was a spy also. He requested a backup, something, you know, because we were there by ourselves. When we were promised, don't worry about it. If anything happens, we'll be right there. Sure, okay. Well, the moral of this story is after the torpedo hit, then they circled the ship, shooting at our fireflies, stretcher bearers. Anything that moved, they would shoot at. They had no regard for human life. We had three life rafts left that weren't burned up or shot up. Threw them over the side. And the Israelis machine gunned them out of the water, except one they took back to their base. It still is in Haifa, I believe, as a trophy of their kill of the men aboard the USS Liberty. What a trophy.
Wow. Unbelievable. So the first wave was Israeli fighter aircraft. And then they sent in the torpedo boats, correct?
Yes.
And this went on for, from what I understand, it was over 2 hours of this assault, basically, right?
Yes, the attack lasted as long as the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Right, like, right.
Every second seemed like a minute. It was, you had nowhere to hide, nowhere to go. Completely defenseless, being slaughtered by our so-called ally. With the help of Lyndon Baines Johnson, he set us up to be murdered, sink our ship, blame down the Arabs, and there we go to World War III. We were seconds away, John, from a nuclear war.
Right.
Seconds away.
Yeah. I want to get into that, like the purpose of the attack, you know, what was ultimately behind it, why the cover up. Before we do that, so after the attack, I mean, how did you guys end up getting out of there? I know 34 servicemen died, over 171, I believe, were injured on the ship. How many total people were on the USS Liberty that day, and how did you guys get out of there? Once the attack was over with?
Sure. Well, there were 294 crew members aboard the Liberty. And over 200 were either dead or wounded. So two-thirds of the crew were basically incapacitated, except the walking wounded. I was not severely wounded, but I was wounded. Thank God it didn't kill me. But how we got out of there is another story in itself. The Israeli helicopters with the commandos in them came over to finish us off. They were going to board our ship and kill us all and sink the ship. It's exactly what they were going to do. And for some reason, they just took off. They just left. The reason being of that is the jig was up. One of our radio men got hooked up an antenna that wasn't supposed to be operational. He got it working, got a signal out to the Sixth Fleet. This is Rockstar, under attack by unknown jet aircraft. Rockstar, we need help. And they heard this. They even heard it as far away as Vietnam. Our cries for help. The Sixth Fleet heard it. The men yelling for help. And they couldn't do anything. They weren't allowed to help us.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is treason at the highest levels.
Yes. Treason, murder, cover-ups, more filth than you could ever think of going on between these two countries, and they're still covering it up. You can't, everything you get from the government is overdacted. Maybe, you know, there might be a V or is that there, but there's nothing else. It's all redacted. It's all blacked out. So it's at the height of a cover up, and it's still being covered up today. Now, not our Congress, not one single president since LBJ to Biden has looked into this matter. And we tried for the last 55 years. Well, I've only been involved about 40 years, but, because I didn't say anything about it. I was afraid to. Because when they came aboard our ship, the Admiral Kidd and Ward Boston to debrief the crew to find out what happened. We told them what happened. Then they told us never to say anything to anybody about it, or we ended up in the penitentiary or worse. We all knew what worse meant.
Yeah, that's pretty unbelievable. And this was the response immediately after. So after the attack, you guys made your way back to the 6th Fleet, and then that's when can you kind of explain what happened after the attack and how you guys escaped? Because you guys were right off the coast of, was it actually the coast of Israel or was it the coast of Egypt?
Off the Sinai Peninsula.
The Sinai Peninsula, okay, right.
When everything was finally over, and the helicopters left with the Marines, the commandos who were going to slaughter us all, we got underway doing about 3.5, 4 knots, 5 knots tops, getting the hell out of there. And those men that were in that torpedo space were sloshed about, torn to pieces for 7 days in salt water. And we finally got into Malta, and we didn't see any American help from our government until 18 hours later. 18 hours later, USS America, USS Davis, and USS, I forget the other ship that came, but the crew off the USS Davis come to help us, and they got alongside and they helped us, you know, with the damage control and shoring up bulkheads and things like that and evacuating the wounded. We got help from the USS America. One of the pilots from the USS America said he was there. He said, what's going on? We're up in the air anyway. Can we? What happened to Liberty? And they said, return to base. So they sent him back too with his squadron. These are some of the best fighter pilots in the world, and they wouldn't come help us. They wanted to, but they weren't allowed to. Now, that was a heavy burden on all these people. It was a heavy burden on many people in the United States Navy, in all military, once they heard about it. You know, how many other times has this happened? We don't even know about it. Our own governors had their own people killed or killed them themselves.
Right. Yeah. And that's what's really stunning is that this was clearly a deliberate policy that came from the highest chain of command, right? I mean, this came directly from the White House.
Yes. Came right from LBJ and McNamara. It was a very small circle of people that were involved. Admiral John McCain, Jr., he was the Atlantic Fleet commander. And once they started interrogating us, now they wrapped up this investigation, the Board of Inquiry, in 7 days. And they concluded it was a mistaken identity. Sorry, it was a mistake, boys. We knew better. We really knew better after they covered it all up and they told us to shut up, not say anything.
So that was initially, that was the official response, was that it was a big mistake by the Israelis. They didn't realize that it was a U.S. ship.
Absolutely. And they stick to that to this day, regardless of the evidence, the survivor's testimony. It was stricken from the record. Not anything I said to the board was recorded. If it was recorded, they certainly didn't put it in the Board of Inquiry. Anything anybody else said, same thing. Lloyd Painter, he saw the torpedo boats, machine gunning the live rats, like most of us did. And his words were taken out. He was a lieutenant, JG, at the time. He ended up working for the Secret Service after he got out of the Navy, but that's a different story. But there's a small handful of us left, after 55 years, or I'm 75. Most of my shipmates are in their 80s. But we're not going to go to our grave with our tail between our legs. We're going to shout from the rooftops.
Right, yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. And I do not blame you. You know, real quick, let me just interject really fast. I'm looking at an article that was published in the Tehran Times. It's almost like we have to rely on foreign media outlets to even cover this story. It's really shameful. I'm looking at an article here that was published in the Tehran Times, and they actually interviewed Phil Giraldi, who I know you're friends with and is involved with, USS Liberty Memorial Groups and stuff like that. And they quote him in this article, and I'm just going to read an excerpt. This kind of summarizes the official U.S. government response, the LBJ administration and some of the top officials. And it says here, President Lyndon B. Johnson and Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara reportedly were informed of the attack shortly after it began, and it was Johnson who twice personally ordered the recall of the U.S. fighter jets going to rescue the Liberty. Admiral Lawrence Geese, commander of the carrier group in the Mediterranean that the planes had launched from, objected, and McNamara responded testily that, quote, President Johnson is not going to war or embarrass an American ally over a few sailors. It was McNamara, again acting on LBJ's orders, who had the crew sequestered after the ship made it to Malta, issuing a gag order over the incident with the understanding that anyone who spoke up would be secretly court-martialed and imprisoned. So that's that kind of summarizes it in a nutshell. It's totally incredible. You know, I just can't even believe it still to this day that this would be the official response from the U.S. government, you know, to cover it up and to basically punish anybody that was openly speaking out about it.
Oh, absolutely. And I have the highest regard and respect for Phil Giraldi. He's a straight shooter. And I know he's personally pissed off about this, too. A lot of Americans are that really know the truth. But, you know, even that great article he wrote, where did it go? It fell on deaf ears in America. Every congressman and senator from LBJ on doesn't have the kahunas to stand up to their masters in Israel. And that's basically what it is.
Absolutely.
I mean,
yeah.
There's no other excuse except to cover it up. And they know we're getting ready to die off. And they hopefully it'll go away by then, they think. Well, it's not going to go away. We have other people that are going to take our place and keep this story going. So too bad on them. This is going to haunt them until they tell the damn truth. So they let the American people know what they did to their own servicemen. Put a knife in their back. Put a knife in the family's back. put a knife in the back of America. That's what they did. When they attacked our ship, they didn't only attack our ship, they attacked America. When you attack an American flagged ship or an American airplane or an American anything, that's an attack on the United States of America. And they got by with it. And we're paying them for it. Millions and billions of dollars.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm curious, what was the response from the commander of the USS Liberty, William McGonagall? I mean, he was directly, you know, involved in what happened. Did he speak out about it? Was he sort of intimidated or pressured to keep it under wraps? What was his response, you know, in the immediate aftermath of the attack?
Well, he clammed up. You know, he just like everybody else. Back Captain McGonagall, that was his last cruise. He was a commander at the time, 05. You got passed all times after that, you're out. So, after it was all said and done, Captain McGonagall got the Medal of Honor. He made the full captain. And retired after he served, you know, as long as he wanted to. He could have stayed in as long as he wanted to, but they gave him a brand new ship, an AOE, boiler ammunition ship, brand spanking new. And, yeah, it's been covered up. He didn't come clean for years and years and years and years and years. And finally, he did admit that he thought it was a deliberate attack. This is way after the fact.
Yeah. Well, how about some of the other U.S. Navy leaders, you know, maybe like on the lower chain of command, anybody like within the Sixth Fleet, was anybody speaking out about it? Or was everybody pretty much intimidated and sort of fell into line?
Well, that's a good question. I'd say, yeah, they were intimidated. The crew aboard the Davis and the Massey and America and Saratoga, they were all ordered to stand down, not say anything, not discuss it. You know, nothing about the USS Liberty. Forget it.
Pretend it didn't happen, essentially.
Absolutely. And then, of course, as I mentioned, Admiral Thomas Moore, he was one of our biggest supporters in this fight. And we gave Admiral Moore, I was president of the LV then, Liberty Veterans Association. At the Army Navy Club, I presented him with the first USS Liberty annual award. This is a great big brass plaque that was, he said, Phil, this is out of everything I've ever gotten in my life, this means more to me than anything, was what we gave him, which is pretty incredible.
Right, yeah. It says a lot, yeah.
It does. And Admiral Moore, and of course, others, Admiral Starring, he reviewed the Board of Inquiry. He had problems with it. And Ward Boston was the chief legal counsel. He was a captain. He took the file off of Admiral Starring's desk. And he was a senior to Captain Boston. And then, because he had problems with it, they took him off the case and settled it themselves. Because he wouldn't sign off on
it. He wouldn't sign off on the official U.S. Navy investigation into it, which was a major cover up, obviously.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And years later, Ward Boston came out with an official declaration that the Board of Inquiry was a sham. They were ordered by Admiral John McCain to make sure the Board of Inquiry sounded nothing like an attack, but a mistaken identity, not an on-purpose attack, but mistaken identity. They thought we were the El Quazir, a very small horse transport that was tied up in Alexandria. There was nowhere to be around. They want people to believe that our beautiful American ship looked like an old horse transport. I mean, it'd take an idiot to believe that stuff.
Right, yeah. So that was the official explanation from the U.S. Navy and the U.S. government for years, right? Was that it was a case of mistaken identity, right? Well, I've got a pretty interesting quote pulled up here from Secretary of State Dean Rusk, who wrote directly to the Israeli ambassador shortly after the attack. Let me just read this really quick, because it seems like there were people in the U.S. government that knew that this was, in fact, a deliberate attack. And yet, you know, as we said, it's been basically covered up. Lyndon Johnson didn't want to get involved. Secretary of Defense McNamara didn't want to get involved. They wanted to basically cover for the Israelis. But Secretary of State Dean Rusk said, he wrote this directly to the Israeli ambassador. He said, at the time of the attack, the USS Liberty was flying the American flag, and its identification was clearly indicated in large white letters and numerals on its hull. Experience demonstrates that both the flag and the identification number of the vessel were readily visible from the air. Accordingly, there is every reason to believe that the USS Liberty was identified, or at least her nationality determined, by Israeli aircraft approximately 1 hour before the attack. The subsequent attack by the torpedo boats, substantially after the vessel was or should have been identified by Israeli military forces, manifests the same reckless disregard for human life. So he's basically telling the Israelis, look, you guys knew that this was a U.S. ship. It was very easy to identify it as such, based on the flag and the markings on the ship itself. Not to mention, they were aware of it, you know, at their headquarters that you sort of explained at the beginning of this interview. So it was clear that Israel knew they were attacking a U.S. ship, right?
Absolutely. And I'm talking about they, I'm talking about our government. They just weren't covering up for Israel. They were covering up for their own selves. They put us out there with no help to be sunk. And blame it on the Egyptians, the Arabs.
Right. So you're convinced that was really the main purpose of this attack, was sort of like a false flag style provocation to draw the U.S. into the conflict?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a land grab for Israel, is what it was. It was a land grab.
Right. Well, that's been their foreign policy since the founding of Israel, right? I mean, they've been trying to take over land and basically dominate the region, and America has been right there to assist in every way possible, including in this situation.
Well, let me ask you a question, John. If our ship sinks and all the newspapers and pundits say, well, our ship was sunk by those dirty Arabs, what do you think America would do? I mean, the public would be outraged, and rightly so.
Right. Yeah, they'd demand retaliation. They'd demand military intervention and revenge, basically.
You got it. And that's why this whole cover-up, this whole mess, was designed for Israel's benefit and LBJ, who, by the way, was shacked up in the White House as the ship was being attacked with Matilda Krim. She was an Ergon agent.
Right,
agent,
yeah.
Of the Israeli government. So he was good friends with her and her husband. And you can't make this kind of stuff up. It's just that it seems unbelievable, but it's the truth. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen this, John. There's a film out called Sacrificing Liberty.
Yes, I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I've actually never seen the full documentary, but I am aware of it, yeah.
Okay, and also, have you ever heard of Jocko Willink?
No, I don't believe so.
He's a Navy SEAL, retired lieutenant commander. We were on his show last month. We flew out to, well, a lot of guys flew. I drove, but two of the other guys, they flew. And we had several hours with him. You can watch it on YouTube. It's the episode 327. Be well worth it to look at it. And also, if you want to look at Sacrificing Liberty, it gives you a lot of insight from a lot of survivors and notables. It's pretty good. It's the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I'll check out both of those sources. You know, I got a question for you. So we mentioned how there were 34 fatalities, 171 wounded, according to the official numbers, which I believe is something like close to 70% of the crew was either wounded or died as a result of this attack. So it was a major, you know, major loss of the servicemen on board this ship. I'm curious, how did the family members respond? I mean, were they aware of what happened? Did any of them speak out about, you know, this deliberate Israeli attack? And were they outraged at the cover-up? I mean, how did the families respond?
Well, the families responded with grief and emotion, and there was one lieutenant killed aboard the ship, Top. He got blown completely apart by a rocket. His dad was a full captain in the United States Navy. And he tried and tried and tried to get to the truth. Letters going to the Pentagon, everything he could do. And it killed him. He of a broken heart and disgust. He died. Didn't take it. So what they did to his son, what they did to us, was just more than he could take. And it's like a lot of the survivors' families say that. Some of them still don't say anything. They're too afraid to. But our organization now is still thriving, the Liberty Veterans. And we're going to have a reunion, as you know, next week in Virginia, Alexandria.
Right, yeah.
And I hope Phil Giraldi makes it there.
Yeah, you know what? We'll talk. Let's talk about that in just a moment. I just had a couple other questions. We can kind of wrap up with the memorial next weekend, and I do believe Phil is going to attend, at least from what I understand. Going back to the cover up, I mean, for years, Israel denied it deliberately attacked the ship. The U.S. government was basically running cover for the Israelis, and anybody that was talking about how it was actually a deliberate attack was, either got in trouble legally, you know, with the military, or they were, denounced as like an anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist. When did it sort of become common knowledge that, in fact, Israel did indeed deliberately attack the ship?
Well, to the survivors, it became common knowledge when we were told to shut up our faces.
Right after the fact.
By everything. I mean, shooting a lot. There were so many war crimes committed that day. And then when the survivors finally got together and started this organization, everybody knew. We wrote letters. We did this and we did that. We got the same thing back from Washington. The Navy said it was a case of mistaken identity. There's been five congressional investigations, which is a flat-ass lie. They never have investigated anything. They lied about that. The only inquiry we got was a board of inquiry. It was done within 7 days when it should have taken 6 months to a year to even 2 years to fully investigate it, dissect exactly what happened. But it didn't happen in this case. The USS Cole, the rest of them, They've all been investigated up and down, up and down. But guess who did that? Terrorists or the Arabs. Or, you know, when Israel does it, along with the help of our government, setting them up to do it, they were all too willing to kill American sailors on the high seas with impunity and complete disregard for our flag, our lives, or Americans around the world. And I wish people would realize that. Once they attack, a foreign country attacks another country, that's an act of war.
Absolutely.
They skated by. They're still skating by.
Well, in this, you know, this attack on the USS Liberty, this certainly wasn't the final time that Israel attacked and killed U.S. citizens or U.S. targets. I'm sure you're familiar with Rachel Corrie. She was a young American woman that was sort of like a peace activist over in Israel, Palestine. And she was murdered after being run over by an Israeli bulldozer back in March of 2003. There have been other incidents of U.S. citizens being targeted, and U.S. journalists in particular being targeted by the Israeli forces. Israel was majorly involved in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. I'm not sure if you've looked into that topic, but there's all sorts of evidence and proof to show that Israel was majorly involved in what took place that day, and they certainly benefited from the, you know, the launch of the global war on terrorism and everything in the aftermath. So Israel has a long history of targeting U.S. citizens and U.S. forces and engaging in these sort of like false flag style attacks. So that, you know, again, this certainly wouldn't be the last time that Israel was targeting U.S. forces.
Absolutely. And what about the dancing Israelis when the towers come down?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but the whole entire Bush administration at the time was basically run by dual citizens and you know, Jewish Americans that had direct ties to Israel. The media was majorly controlled and still is controlled by these people. The whole entire foreign policy establishment was basically in their hands, and they had their global war on terrorism talking points ready to go in the immediate aftermath. So it was obviously a major setup, and there's been a lot of research that's been done to prove all of this.
Oh, absolutely. And George Bush was a scoundrel. Look at how many American lives were blown to bits in Iraq, Afghanistan. It's just unbelievable. And
right. It's a disgrace.
That was a false flag. Yeah, it's a disgrace. It was a false flag on Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction, my rear end, they couldn't find anything. All they wanted to do was get rid of Saddam Hussein and start a war. And that all, you know, that benefited the military-industrial complex, which President Eisenhower warned against in his final speech when he left office. In fact, I remember hearing that when I was a little kid.
Right. Well, I mean, even to this day, Israel continues to murder innocent people with impunity. Recently, Israeli forces killed a longtime Al Jazeera journalist named Serene Abu Akleh, I believe is how you pronounce her name. This happened a few weeks ago. When was this? I want to say in early May. Yeah, I think it was in early May. They're regularly attacking sovereign states like Syria and Iran. You know, they launch these targeted assassinations of military and political leaders in Iran and Syria and other countries. So, I mean, this is a totally out of control rogue state, terrorist state that has the full backing and support of the U.S. government. And it's absolutely just, it's a total disgrace that they're allowed to engage in this sort of behavior, and we totally support every move that they make.
Yeah, well, the crew of the USS Liberty has been called Nazis, Jew haters, every other disgusting thing you can think of, because we survived, and we're talking about it. They're the one that did all the murder, and we didn't murder anybody. And they call us names. I was in San Diego about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, something like that. And me and my wife, we were at the bar waiting to get a seat at the table to get something to eat. This guy comes in, sits right next to me. I start talking about the USS Liberty and what a mistake it was and all that. I said, no, man, how do you know I'm a survivor anyway? He says, I know. And he had this big watch on. Looked like a, he kept on putting it in my face. And I pushed him away. I said, get that watch out of here. Was it a camera or a secret recording device or whatever? Anyway, he, we almost got into a skirmish there. And, he says, listen, the best thing for you to do is shut up. I said, what are you with Mossad? He says, yeah, I'm with the Mossad.
Wow. No kidding.
Yes. My wife was there right there. She heard it all. And there's the bar. I mean, we were loud. I don't know, but, the bartender, I queried him the next day. I said, you know this guy? Well, he's been coming in the last few days. Said he was a doctor. Yeah, he's a doctor, all right. He's a Mossad agent. And he knew I was coming there. How he knew, I don't know. Probably by my credit card or whatever, or tap my phone. But, yeah, they're out there. And their worst nightmare is us. It really is.
Yep. Well, this is very typical. Anybody that is critical of Israel or critical of the organized Jewish community, or, you know, like these activist Jewish groups like the ADL, for example, I mean, you're inevitably denounced as like a crazy anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that just, you know, irrationally hates Jews simply for pointing out facts, you know, inconvenient facts for Israel or for the organized Jewish community, or for, you know, for criticizing these people. It's absolutely childish, you know, the sort of tactics that they use, but they've been very effective over the years.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you another incident. I went to the State Department. Well, this has probably been 20 years ago. They were having a symposium about the attack. And everybody on the panel, this one guy named A.J. Crystal, he was a bankruptcy judge. He wrote a book called The Liberty Incident, which is a bunch of garbage. It was all lies. Michael Oren, I don't know if you've heard of him. He was on the panel. And this fellow named Sussman, Mark Susser, was a moderator at the State Department. There were two survivors there, myself and Joe Lentini. And they prompted, Pat Rushakis, she was there. Her husband was killed aboard the Liberty. And they said what they wanted to say. James Bamford, he was the only person on the panel that was on our side. And he's written many books. James Bamford was a ABC producer. And then he got on his own. But I don't know if you've ever heard of James Bamford.
Yeah, he's written quite a bit about the NSA.
Yeah,
I'm familiar with him.
Body of Secrets is a good reference book. But so they opened up the conversation. Joe jumped up, and then I was on the other side of the room. I was up. He talked and said, hey, I'm no friend of Judge Crystal. I talked to him, but he's not my friend. And they cut him off, and then I started to speak. And they cut my mic off, and they said that it's over. This is done. We don't want to hear from you. In our own State Department, a combat wounded veteran, highly decorated, and here they are telling me to shut up. I can't speak about it.
Yeah, well, again, it's very typical. They want to shut anybody down, censor anybody that's speaking out about any of these controversial, inconvenient topics, right?
Yes, sir. And I never thought I'd be treated like that. But it was kind of expected, I guess, in a way. I was hoping it would. I thought it would be a fair and open, balanced inquiry or symposium. But no, it was all one-sided. All the weight was on their side. We're just the peons.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Shows where our where the priorities of the U.S. government are, right?
Absolutely. I mean, the cover-up is just as strong today or stronger than it's ever been.
Well,
All
we're
these politicians, I'm just going to say, all these politicians are bought and paid for by the Zionist state of Israel, period. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. They're
right.
all bought and paid.
Well, next Wednesday is the 55th anniversary of the attack on the USS Liberty. And I know you're involved in the upcoming memorial service. You've sort of helped organized it, or yeah, you've organized it, and it's going to be in Arlington, Virginia, you said, correct? You want to kind of provide us with some of the details of this event?
Yes, we're all, everybody who goes to the reunion, the survivors and families and supporters, we're going to Arlington Cemetery to visit the mass grave where six of our shipmates are entombed. Just body parts, it's all in there, just pieces. And when that first happened, when that marker was first put up, it said died in the Eastern Mediterranean on that marker. Admiral Moore worked and worked and worked and finally got a change to kill the board of USS Liberty. Not by who, but kill. That's as far as they were going to go. I got a Bronze Star with a V, a pat on the back, and my award says nothing about who attacked us, only about what I did. Nothing about who the attackers were. That's uncalled for, unheard of. Same thing with everybody else who got an award. The name Israel was completely wiped off the earth. That's pretty disgusting, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah, and like I say, it's incredibly revealing, just about how the U.S. government works, what the priorities of the U.S. government are. I mean, they're placing the interests of a foreign state over their own service members. It's absolutely treasonous, and should be unacceptable to anybody, to any American patriot, regardless of your political affiliations or background or whatever. I mean, this is just unacceptable. And it's, again, re incredibly revealing into how the U.S. government works, and it's something that continues to this very day.
Sure it does. And it's okay. So you get by with killing Americans as long as you the Israelis. It's no problem. It's just man, we said it was a mistake. They took their word instead of ours. And I mean, we were set up, John. I mean, we were set up to go there and sink and blame it and on the Arabs, and that's exactly what happened. Actually, we didn't sink. Through the grace of God, we didn't sink. We spoiled their plans. And that's why we got dressed down by our government to shut up, never say a word about it. I was ordered directly by Admiral Kitt. So if I ever told anybody about this, including my family, especially the newspapers, whatever, I'll guarantee you're going to end up in Leavenworth or worse. Here
That
I
is
am, a 20 year old.
just shameful.
Yes, it is. It wasn't just, okay.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're gonna let's kind of wrap up here. I can't remember exactly where you got cut off, but was there any other comments you wanted to make about the situation or about the upcoming memorial next weekend?
Yes, the upcoming memorial is a milestone. 55 years of cover-up and deceit, and all those young men lost their lives that day over a lie. And our government put us in that position to die. And the executioners were the Israelis. The brains behind it was Israel and McNamara and Johnson. And it's still the brains behind it, even to this day. To this very day, is to protect Israel. Do not let the truth come out. That's why it's so sealed. But we're not going to let them forget. We're going to keep on doing this till we're all dead, and then others are going to take over. But I certainly appreciate you, the interview.
Yeah, no problem. And thank you very much for your courage and bravery for standing up and telling the truth. It's very much appreciated, and I think it's really woken a lot of people up over the years, you know, realizing that the U.S. government allowed this to happen and covered it up, and you know, sort of woke people up to the reality of the situation and how Israel basically totally controls our government, our media, and you know, our government is willing to cover up and even facilitate these sorts of attacks on our own servicemen. It's totally disgraceful.
It is, and I don't know what the headline you're going to have on your article, but make it powerful.
Yes, because, absolutely.
If we're the bad guys, if we're lying, take us to court. Let's go to court. Let's get us in front of Congress and see who's lying. They won't do that because they have no excuse. They can't cover up a lie with people that saw it with their own eyes. They're cooked on that thing.
Right.
That's why they can't wait till we're all dead.
Well, Phil, thank you very much, man, for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it. And yeah, I'll be in touch. Good luck on the with the memorial next week, and I look forward to hearing more about it. And we'll have to do this again in the future.
Okay, John, and please give my best to Paul. And Phil, of course, and everybody at the staff there. In fact, the old Spotlight is the first one that really broke this story. And I was on the front page there of the old Spotlight. But Willis Carto was a good man, him and his wife both.
Absolutely. Well said. Okay, thanks, Phil.
You bet. Bye-bye.